Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. Our guest today is Michelle Dahl, the author of Essential Tools, Tips, and Techniques for the Home Cook. Michelle, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
This week's episode is supported by Nutrition Diva, another great podcast about food and the way it fits into our lives. Every week, licensed nutritionist Monica Renangel serves up valuable nutrition information that will help you separate food facts from fiction. Her approach is simple and scientific and helps make healthy eating just a little bit easier. And just like The Clever Cookster, episodes are short and to the point, so you can learn what you need to know and then go apply that knowledge. Check out Nutrition Diva on your favorite podcast platform or at quickanddirtytips.com. So you had this sort of interesting career. You graduated with honors from the French Culinary Institute and have served as an instructor there. But now in this book, you're really sort of bringing these classic techniques and things that you've learned back home to the home cook. So can you talk a little bit about the book and kind of what led you here?
Yeah, absolutely. From actually a career changer even before that, I was in graphic design for 10 years before I decided to become a chef. And I had originally enrolled in just straight culinary school at the French Culinary Institute. And I kept having to put it off because of work obligations. And finally they said, we can't put it off anymore. And I said, well, what starts next? And it was the pastry school. So I ended up jumping in there and absolutely loved it. But I always cooked at home. And ever since I was really little, I was in the kitchen and, you know, making not just pies, but pizza and all sorts of savory dishes. And so everything I ever did, I always wanted to find a way to bring it back home and apply those kind of kitchen rules and techniques to what I was doing at home to keep it all kind of clean and organized and better if I could.
One of the things that I love about this book is you really talk through a lot of the tools that I think can overwhelm home cooks and bakers. They don't know, you know, what they need to get, what's really a priority, what to splurge on. Can you talk about some of the things that you think really are important to have in a successful home kitchen?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. So you walk into like a William Sonoma or a Sterla Top and it can be completely overwhelming. It's just, you know, everything's so shiny and pretty and you want to get all of it, but we have such limited space that you really want to just find the one or two items in each category and bring those home to use. So it's kind of like identifying the categories first, which is what I did. So each chapter is its own tool category, so Dutch ovens or sheet pans, and then find out what's the best one for you and then have that one at home so that you don't end up with, you know, 20 sheet pans and none of them are just right for the cookies that you like to make.
I love the troubleshooting tips also throughout the book for the recipes. There are these little sidebars that really kind of walk you through what to do if something goes wrong, if the common mistakes that tend to happen or common things that people aren't sure how to handle come up. So can you talk about some of the sort of most classic troubleshooting moments and how you tell people to overcome them?
Sure. It's funny. So a lot of those came organically from teaching classes. So I would be, you know, just seeing what other people would do who didn't have any kind of culinary background. You know, what was kind of their instinctual use of holding the knife? And, you know, most people point and they've got their finger all the way outstretched. That's not necessarily wrong, but if you do it a lot, you're going to end up with carpal tunnel syndrome. It's really taxing to the tendons on the back of your hand, but it feels right. But, you know, if you get this extra little tip, then it saves you a lot of time and pain, frankly, down the road. Some other tips were like with the sheet pan, not using a really dark sheet pan. It might say nonstick, and that sounds really desirable for your cookies, but because it's dark, it's absorbing a lot more heat. And that's cooking the bottom of your cookies really, really fast, and the top is totally raw and poofy. So you end up with a half raw, half not the black and white cookie that we want to get. But it's very common, and if you go with a lighter colored sheet pan, then you're going to have much better results.
What about ovens? I think that some people get so frustrated the first time they try to bake something and the timing doesn't work out or it cooks unevenly. How do you know kind of how to work with your oven, and what are some of the tests you can do to get to know your oven a little bit better?
Oh, that's a really good question. All ovens have hot spots, and no matter what, if you're cooking with steam, gas, electric, you name it, it's got a hot spot. So that's when you pull out your lasagna and it's burnt on one side and cold on the other side, or, you know, half your cookies are done and the other half aren't done. So what I recommend doing is rolling out a piece of dough, like crescent roll dough or something that you don't necessarily want to eat, but you can sacrifice to the oven. Put it in your sheet pan all nice and flat and just bake it off until it's done, like about 10 minutes or so, golden brown. And when you flip it over, you're going to see exactly where your heat spots are and how extreme they are. If you don't see anything, you're fine, and you don't have to worry about spinning stuff around as often in your oven. But if you see a really dark side, you know that maybe there's one of the flames is out, and that you need to have it serviced, or you know that you need to be constantly rotating whatever it is you're baking. Oven maintenance is super important, so you should always have a thermometer in there. We just installed new ovens at work, and they're like 30 degrees off. And the way we get it calibrated is, unfortunately, to call the vendor back. He's got to come in and fix it for us, because that's a huge difference. Another point with ovens is home cooks don't trust themselves. They read the recipe and they pour over it, and, you know, that's gospel. And they're not trusting themselves to say, you know, what calls for one clove of garlic? What is a clove of garlic? Is it like a pinky fingernail, or is it a thumb? It could be either. And it's, you know, deciding for themselves how much they really want to put in. And if something looks like it's done, if it's pulling away from the sides, if it's golden brown, if it's not soft in the middle anymore, then, you know, they should feel confident in taking it out and giving it a shot and kind of owning the whole process.
Green Chef is a USDA-certified organic company that provides everything you need to easily cook delicious meals that you can feel good about. With meal plans ranging from paleo, vegan, and vegetarian to keto, gluten-free, omnivore, and carnivore, it's easy to maintain a specialty diet and enjoy exciting new options. Their diverse array of recipes ranges from global cuisines to classic comfort foods, all with a signature touch. And pre-made sauces, dressings, and spices help you get more flavor in less time. Plus, each ingredient is thoughtfully sourced, and its journey from planting to plating is tracked closely. Because Green Chef thinks dinner should be planned around your life, not the other way around. I have to say, I got my first Green Chef package when I'd just gotten home from a trip, and it was such a gift to open a box and find a meal that I could make in half an hour so easily. We made these delicious orzo stuffed peppers, and it was really incredible. I love to cook, but I don't always want to go to the grocery store, look up a recipe, and do the entire experience start to finish. So this helps give me a shortcut that still ends with a home-cooked meal on the table. For $50 off your first box of Green Chef, go to greenchef.us/clever. That's greenchef.us/clever for $50 off your first box. Let's talk too about measuring, and especially measuring flour, because I think in baking, you know, because people are so used to really relying on cup measures and spoon measures, and we're one of the only countries, of course, that doesn't bake by weight yet. So what do you tell people in terms of getting accurate measurements when they're baking, which is so important?
It's so important. If you don't measure the same as the person that did the recipe testing, you're going to end up with a completely different product. So I hate it when I see recipes that are like, you know, 2 cups of flour. Well, the flour has traveled across the country to get to us with thousands of pounds of flour on top of it, smashing it down. So if you don't aerate it when you get it home, your 2 cups are going to be more like 3 cups or 2.5 cups, which is a huge difference in a recipe for muffins or cookies or something. So you want to have flour that is in a separate container. Whenever I get it home, I usually, you know, we'll dump it out to a big glass canister so I can always see how much I have and then know that it's kind of aerated. Because I do still have, like, all the recipes my grandmother passed down are all in cups. The rest of my pastry books are all in grams and stuff. So you want to have a good scale, too, and calibrate it every once in a while. If it's a non-battery, non-electric one, and if it does have a battery, then you just want to check it every once in a while. Because once that battery starts to go, you don't know immediately, and it's off, and your recipes start to get off. So test your equipment first, and if you do have to do cups, make sure that it's nice and fluffy flour. Not necessarily sifted, but just aerated.
This book includes recipes for so many things that I, as a home cook and baker, have felt really intimidated by. Things as simple as puff pastry from scratch, but the way that you talk about them and walk the reader through them really makes them seem feasible. What were some of the things when you were in cooking school or as you're teaching that you think people are too often afraid of that are really less difficult than you might think?
Oh, first of all, that's so good to hear. That's exactly what I was going for. I wanted to take these, you know, really daunting tasks and make them approachable for everybody. Because once that penny kind of drops and you get the basics for the techniques, then, you know, you're going to want to try more things. And you're not just going to want to do quick puff pastry, but you're going to want to maybe infuse it with some herbs or something, or take it a step further and get more creative. So that's really good to hear. And then I totally lost track.
No, I was just wondering, you know, what other things are do people tend to shy away from? What are the things that people say, oh, I never could make that? And you want to say, no, really, you could. Things that people think are intimidating but are really quite doable.
Oh, sure, absolutely. So the ganache can be very tricky. Learning how to fix a broken ganache, which is actually quite simple once you know the tricks. That can be a really easy, delicious dessert. The laminated doughs, the puff pastries, croissants. Let me see, what else? Caramel. Making different stages of caramel, so both in sauces and then actual hard candies. People are scared of that, rightfully so. It's you know, kind of dangerous. But we actually do a Swiss meringue buttercream, which is people tend to shy away from because, one, it looks like a daunting amount of butter, which it is, but it's so light and fluffy that it ends up being a lot more light and delicious than I think American buttercream. But that's daunting for people because we're cooking the egg whites and the sugar to a specific degree. Whenever you start to mention, you know, it has to go to a certain degree, people kind of shy away and they're like, oh, too much trouble. But it's really not. With the Swiss buttercream, too, you can even use your finger as a thermometer. You know, it can be as broad a range as that. I wouldn't recommend using your finger as a thermometer for the caramel or any kind of caramel things, but, you know, it's tricky with baking, too. You hear so many cooks who are like, it's too fussy, and I don't like to measure things, and I hate being so exact. I like being a cook where I can, you know, riff on things and more like a jazz musician. But you can really marry the two, and once you understand the technique for, like, puff pastry, why does it puff up? Then you can start to riff on it on your own.
What's your go-to when you're having people over? You want to make a dessert, you want to bake something, but you kind of want to make it quickly and you don't want to have to go buy special ingredients. What are some of your go-to desserts that you kind of always keep things on hand to make at a moment's notice?
Sure. So pavlova is great, but it's if I know that I'm having somebody over the next day, then that way I can just do it in two steps. You make your meringue and you just leave it in an oven that's turned off overnight. It's one way to make it, and that's super simple. And the curd keeps for such a long time that I almost always have some in my refrigerator. The panna cotta is super easy, and you can customize that a thousand different ways. That's really easy to do. You can whip it up in minutes. Honestly, if it's the day of, if all of a sudden my husband's like, we're having people over tonight and, you know, I haven't gone to the grocery store, I had no idea people were coming over, I would do a savillon, which is egg and wine over a bain marie, whipped up really nice and thick with some marsala or even champagne or something, and then just pour that over berries. That's kind of my go-to last-second dessert.
Wow, it's amazing. It's so easy and so last minute, but so glamorous and impressive once it's on the table.
Right. It sounds so funny. That's always what the high rollers order at the restaurant. When they're like, off the menu, I'll have a savillon. You're like, oh, God, now I got to whisk for 5 minutes. But it really only takes 5 minutes to put together.
Michelle, thank you so much for coming to talk with us today. It's such a really useful and accessible book, and I think it really brings all of these professional techniques to a level that works in the home kitchen. So I'm really glad that you wrote it.
Thank you, Kara. I appreciate that so much. It really is great to hear.
Check out the book, Essential Tools, Tips, and Techniques for the Home Cook, A Professional Chef Reveals the Secrets to Better Cooking by Michelle Dahl. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.
This episode is brought to you by Macmillan, our publisher. This year, Macmillan turned 175 years old. And to celebrate, we brought together Macmillan employees to share their favorite stories of working here. From publishing best-selling books...
And I just remember seeing them across the concourse. And I started running up to them. I'm like, you're number one, you're number one. And we all started jumping up and down.
To making a difference in the world.
Of all the books that I've worked on, I feel like this book, more than any other, has changed people's lives. And that's an incredible opportunity.
To the impact working here has on our own lives.
You know, being at Macmillan was kind of a big part of our story to begin with.
We officially listed our location on the marriage certificate as the Flatiron Building, and we couldn't find any others that matched in the records, so...
So we're just going to go ahead and say that we're the first to actually get married in the Flatiron Building.
Macmillan, bringing authors and readers together since 1843. For more stories of our long-standing history in the publishing business, follow us on social at Macmillan USA. That's MacMillanUSA.